All right. Good morning, Grace Church. Welcome back to church. For those who are watching online, like Pastor Stephen already said, come to church. It's nothing like being in the house of God. Amen? Amen. So let's just pray before we start. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. God, I thank you that you are a good God. Father, I pray that as I speak today, that you will be with my mouth. Bring clarity, Father. And I pray, God, as your people listen to your word, open their hearts to receive what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message today is Faith That Overcomes. Faith That Overcomes. Now, recently, Pastor Stephen and I were at Penang. We went to minister to some youth there. It was an event called True Love Waits, and it was really a good event. But there was a pastor there, a young lady. She was there, and she's actually from the Orang Asli. So we were talking to her, and she said she took about 4 hours to get there just for this session. And she brought two young people with her. So I said, oh, okay, that's nice. 4 hours to come just for that session, and then she goes back right after. So I was like, wow, that's dedication. And then we went on to talking, and I found out that her husband is in Indonesia, and he has kidney problems. His kidney, she says, sudah kecut. Both kidneys sudah kecut. And then he cannot even get kidney transplant because of his condition. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, this woman loves God so much, and she seems so jovial, so happy. And she loved God so much that she's willing to travel and bring these two young people from the Orang Asli to come and listen to what God has to say. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. That kind of faith. And that reminds me of the story of the four friends with the paralyzed man. Everyone's familiar with that story, right? So this story is taken from Luke 5, verse 17 to 25. And because we're so familiar with the story, we won't read it, but we're going to explore the story a little bit. Now, if you know my storytelling, you know that I like to go into it and imagine and all that. So we're going to do that today. Is that okay? Yes. All right. So let's imagine these four friends and this paralyzed guy. Now, I believe that these guys were really good friends, right? Because they brought him to Jesus. They were willing to go through all that to bring him to Jesus. But let's imagine this happened maybe a week before, all right? The scenario. And it happens maybe a week before, and then they all go over to their friend's house, this paralyzed man. And they go over and they say, you know, we want to have an intervention. We're going to go there and we're going to say, hey, you have to come to meet Jesus. Jesus has a healing power. You know, something can happen. And so they go over. They say, okay, now we have a plan. We are going to bring you. This date is the date Jesus is coming. You have to be ready. We're going to bring you there and you're going to experience a miracle. And then he goes, huh? You know that I don't pray. You know I don't seek God. This is Jesus. He's a holy man. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to care about me. And then they're like, no, we're going to do it. We have to do it. We must do it. Come, let's just try. And then there's this one friend. His name is Abu, let's imagine, okay? His name is Abu. And he goes, no. Guys, we all have that one friend that is over-enthusiastic, right? In our group of friends, I'm sure you can think of that one friend that is over-enthusiastic, always the one that's like, no, we have to do it. No, let's do it. That's what one guy, Ravi said it's me. Okay, anyway. So there's this one guy, Abu, let's name him Abu, and he goes, no, we must do it. We must go. There's something about this Jesus. I heard that he healed so many people. He surely heal you one. And the paralyzed guy says, no, I cannot. You heard what the doctors say. It's impossible. I cannot. And then they keep pursuing, persuading him, trying their best to persuade him. Eventually, he says, okay, I'll go. And so the day comes. 1 week later, the day comes. And Abu, of course, is the first to go to the house. And he knocks. Open, open, open. Come, we have to leave now. Or not means we won't get front seat. Come on, let's go. No answer at the door. He knocks again, knocks again. Finally, the maid opens the door. She says, sorry, sir is not feeling well today. He is resting. He's resting. He's not feeling so well. You know, he got a tummy ache today, so he cannot come. And then he goes, no, let me in. So he goes in and he sees his friend lying on the bed. And he says, what is this? Come on, you're not ready. You have to go now. We have to leave now so that we can get into the house. Jesus is very famous, you know. And he's like, no, I really don't feel good. I don't want. Then the rest of the friends came a bit later, but they came. They're like, hey, let's go. No, he's not ready. And they said, come on, we have to go now. We have to see that miracle. Then he looks at the friends, tears in his eyes. He said, I am not worthy. I am not worthy of this. Guys, you know what kind of a guy I was. You know what kind of a guy I am. I am not worthy. And some of us in this place may feel, I'm not worthy. God, you know what kind of life I've been living. You know my past. You know what I'm going through. I am not worthy. But the miracle is happening. It is happening. And so they managed to convince him. They drag him, get him ready, brush his teeth, whatever they had to do. Got him on the bullock cart that Abu had rented and got all ready. And they run because they want to be on time. They run. But after reaching the place, when they finally reached the house where Jesus was, it is crowded, full of people. And they're like, oh my gosh, what now? So they try to push him. One guy gets him on the back and they try to push through. We went to Coldplay concert about a couple of years back. Woohoo! Coldplay concert. And so the entrance to get in was crammed. I don't know whether you remember. It was full of people and then it bottlenecked to the entrance. And you have to just push in. So I can imagine carrying a paralyzed man trying to push in the crowd and it was impossible. Then they almost give up. But Abu comes with a ladder. Guys, you never believe it. And they're like, you found a way in? Yes, come on, trust, come on. And they're like, why do you have a ladder? No, trust, come, let's go. And then he leans it against the house. And they say, what? And then he said, we're going to climb up. That is crazy. This is what happened. They climbed up a roof. Now, imagine a dead weight man, okay? A paralyzed man. You have to carry him up a ladder. And this is not just up the stairs. Even to carry up the stairs or so is a lot of work already. Imagine climbing up the ladder to go to the roof of the house. They did that. They climb. They climb to the top of the roof. When they finally get there, they're huffing and puffing, and then they realize Abu is missing again. And they look, where could Abu be? Abu is listening on the floor, going to every part of the roof, listening on the floor. And then he shouts, here. And they're like, what? And then he's like, break it. And they all start breaking it. All four friends break this roof. Break. And break. And downstairs, Jesus is teaching and preaching. He looks up and he sees dust start to fall. And then he sees a hole in the ceiling and he smiles and he says, this is why I'm here. The miracle is about to happen. The roof opened up finally and they lowered him down. And when he was at the feet of Jesus, Jesus looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. This guy starts to break down. My sins? Just like that? And he breaks down and he cries. And he said, this is what you guys brought me for. He's thinking, oh my gosh, Jesus has forgiven all my sins. And then after a while, Jesus looks back at him. Jesus had a conversation with some Pharisees and some guys. And then he looks back at him and he says, get up, take your mat and walk. And this paralyzed guy starts to feel his feet. He starts to be able to stand. And he sees a miracle happening in his life that he didn't even think was possible. And he starts to walk out praising God our Father. Amen? And that is the story of Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. My first point this morning is faith overcomes depression. Faith overcomes depression. There are many times we may feel like that man, that paralyzed man, who is alone. And for the most part, he is alone because his four friends had their own lives, right? They had their own lives. They had their own everyday. Maybe they had their own families. And he was alone for the most part. But when there was a breakthrough that was supposed to happen, his friends showed up. Now, it is okay to feel alone. It is okay to feel like you're lonely and you're all alone in this world. In 1 Kings 18, verse 22, Elijah, the prophet, a great man of God, he said this, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. He cried out, I'm alone. I'm all alone. We may feel like that. God, I'm all alone. But you know what? In 1 Kings 19, 18, we see that it wasn't true. Yet, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. There were still many, many, many people worshiping Jehovah, worshiping God. But he felt alone. Many of the times, we may feel like we're alone, but I'm here to tell you, don't despair. You are not alone. You have people around you. People are around you. God has sent. God often sends breakthrough through people. And sometimes we may receive a text from someone asking, how are you? Our immediate response is what? All good. Thank you. All good. Thank you. But maybe that text is really, they're really asking you, how are you? Right? So here I am to tell you to overcome depression. And you sometimes we may feel we can't overcome it by ourselves, right? Which is true. You can't. That is why God sends people. That is why God, the four friends were there to help this paralyzed man. Amen? God sends people around you. Maybe a person has reached out to you and you may not want to share so much. But all you can actually say, I need prayer. Just pray for me today. Sometimes I do that with my sisters. I'm going through a hard time and then I said, guys, I just need you all to pray for me today. And then of course, like, they try to correct, right? Because sisters. So they'll try to correct. Why? What happened? This one, that one. Oh, sure, this one. I said, no. I just need prayer. Right? And you can do that. It's okay to reach out to any one of your friends and they are there to help you. Don't go through it alone. God gives us communities, cell groups, friendships for a reason. Amen? See, even the word of God in John 13, verse 34, it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. So Grace Church, if you know that someone needs help, if you know someone needs prayer, do it. Because this is the command that God has given us. Amen? Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen? So let's be like that four friends and reach out to those around us. Let's not stick in our own bubble and say, oh, everything is good. There's many times, many people actually who are depressed, but on the outside, everything is perfect. Everything is well. I'm good. The statistics actually is quite high now in Malaysia on depression and anxiety. We need to reach out to one another. Can we be a church that reaches out to one another? Amen. Because faith overcomes depression. Number two, faith overcomes obstacles. Faith overcomes obstacles. These guys brought the friend through a lot of obstacles. Yeah? First, they had to drag him out of bed. Then they had to push. They had to run. Running is not easy. They had to run to the house. And then they had to push through the crowd. And then they had to climb up the roof. And then they had to break. And then they have to lower him down carefully. I don't think they just throw him down, right? That wouldn't be very nice, right? They had to lower him down carefully unto the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. And that is where the miracle happened. At the feet of Jesus. They didn't just wait outside and say, Namaila, we wait for him, we wait for the crowd to clear, and then maybe his healing power can reach all the way or what. They made a way to bring him to the feet of Jesus. Amen. The miracle is in the house. The miracle is at the altar. When we come to the altar, that is where miracles will happen. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, she pushed through the crowd to get to the feet of Jesus. And when she touched the hem of his garment, that is where the miracle happened. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and he called out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth at the voice of Jesus, at the sound of Jesus. When Jesus broke the bread and gave it out to thousands of people, miracle happened when Jesus was present. Amen. Jesus went down, makes the mud, spit mud, made mud. And then put at the blind man's eye, and there was healing. It all happened at the feet of Jesus. So where does your miracle happen? At the feet of Jesus. Bring your problems before the feet of Jesus. Psalm 43 verse 4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Go to the altar of God. So when pastor opens the altar for prayer, come to the altar. You may say, oh, Jesus is not physically here. So how does that work? It happened when Jesus died on the cross. What happened? The veil was torn. The veil was torn. And when the veil was torn, we can now come into the presence of God. Be at the presence of God. Amen? When I was young, we were at youth camp. I was about 14 at the time, I believe. And I remember at that time was the 90s. So we loved to headbang, all right? We were headbanging to all the worship music and everything, DC Talk, Petra, whatnot. And we were headbanging, you know. And then it was a youth camp, and this loud music was going on, and suddenly I felt in my spirit that I had to just kneel down. And it was weird because it's a fast song playing. I don't remember what fast song it was, but everybody was jumping, you know, going crazy. And then I just felt I had to kneel down. And I did that. I was 14 at the time. I knelt down, and then suddenly God's presence came. And I felt so strong, the Holy Spirit, and I started to cry and cry. And it was something that I will never forget. I experienced God for myself at the feet of Jesus. And that is why I'm so passionate about young people going for camps, going for youth camp, and experiencing God for themselves. I want them to experience God for themselves. Because that happened when I was 14. Now I'm 40 plus plus. And I can still remember that feeling, that amazing presence of God. Amen? And it's so important for young people and for you guys also to experience the presence of God. Because once you have experienced the presence of God, no one can tell you otherwise. No one can take that away from you. No one can take that experience away from you. Amen? It's about being in God's presence. Don't stand on the outside watching. Enough of hesitancy. Don't wait for your life to be perfect. Let me get my life perfect. I was far from perfect. I was 14. Come on. But God still met me. And God wants to meet each one of us. Amen. Recently, I went for coffee with a young lady. And she was contemplating salvation. She said, I'm not sure whether I want to ask Jesus into my heart or not. You know, she's not sure. And so I said, don't make your decision based on what people tell you or what I tell you. You have to decide for yourself. And she said, my only fear is this. Listen, my only fear is this. When I accept Jesus, I'm scared. I said, why? She said, I'm scared that I will know what is right and what is wrong. Because right now I'm an atheist, so I can do whatever I want to do. I have no accountability. But when I ask Jesus into my heart, I will know that what I'm doing is wrong. And that is true. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you will know what is right and what is wrong, and you will feel bad. See, but it's not because Jesus is saying, don't do this, God is saying, don't do that. But it's because you want to live a life pleasing unto God. Amen? So come to the altar. Don't be hesitant anymore. Come to the altar and say, God, I need to get my life right, but I need you to help me. Amen? Push through. Push through the obstacles in your life. What are obstacles in your life that is blocking you from entering into the presence of God? What are obstacles in your life that is blocking you from having a prayer life with God? It's time to break it. Like the friends breaking the roof and coming to the feet of Jesus, it's time to break that obstacles. Amen? Because faith overcomes obstacles. Number three, faith overcomes doubt. Faith overcomes doubt. Verse 20 says, seeing their faith. It wasn't the faith of the paralyzed man, but it was the faith of the four friends. If you are looking for a breakthrough today and you say, I've run out of faith. I have no faith in my life. I still have a lot of unbelief in my life. There's no hope in my situation. This is just impossible. I've tried reconciliation. I've tried counseling and there's still no hope. I'm here to tell you there is hope because there is faith in the house of God. When you come to the house of God, there is a group. Look around you. There is a whole group, a whole church here that you can borrow their faith from. And that overcomes doubt. Amen. This guy, just now we said, he felt, I cannot. I can't do this on my own. I'm hopeless. But the four friends, because of their faith, I'm pretty sure he didn't say, okay, you guys take me there. You guys break the roof. You guys do this. I'm quite sure he didn't do that. I'm very sure that it's the four friends. Because Jesus said, looking at their faith, seeing their faith, he healed this man. Amen? So the faith of one another as a church, let's overcome. Overcome things that are blocking us, things that are holding you back. When you can't carry yourself, the church is here to carry you through. We have WhatsApp groups in our church, Bible study and cell group, hospitality. The moment a prayer request goes in, I can see the faith rising and it's so exciting because I don't know if anyone else feels this, but when we put in a prayer request and then we start praying, I can feel the excitement of something happening, of a breakthrough happening. And it's so exciting because we can't see each other praying, but we can feel it in the atmosphere. And that is so exciting. That is so exciting because we serve the true and living God. That's the difference. We serve the true and living God and He brings miracles at the feet of Jesus. When your faith is weak, you have the church to stand with you and carry you to Jesus. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. So that is what we do as a church. We carry each other's burdens to the Lord. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for all people. So let's pray for one another. Let faith arise today. Let faith overcome, overcome depression, overcome obstacles, and overcome doubt. Can I have the worship team? I believe it's so important for us as a church to realize that there are things in our lives that need changes, yes? But also we are here for one another. We are going to stand with one another and believe for miracles this morning. Amen? Do you have a miracle that you're looking forward to this morning? I'm sure you do. We're not just talking about physical miracles. We're also talking about emotional needs, relationships that may need healing. Let's stand to our feet as we seek God today.